Joe Campbell has been our point person on everything that's land related here at the church, but he would be the first one to say that he's worked with a lot of different people in the church. And we thought it would be great for you to hear from someone who's been a part of Joe's team, and Joe's going to introduce him now.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Greg. Yeah, I would love to invite Tim Norton to come up, please, who's been on that team and has served so faithfully. Isn't it amazing just being on this land? I was just thinking about how, you know, you and I together, we walked a lot of mosquito and tick-infested, swampy, rocky wastelands of the Route 1 corridor, you know? I mean, we were on some pretty rough property. And being on that team, you know firsthand, you know, what a miraculous thing it was that God provided this amazing piece of land.
So there's no question that this land is land that God handpicked for this church. I've been at this for a while, with Joe and with the assistance and guidance from the elders, and the steps that have gone into the selection of this property and the ability to get this property just really leave no question in any of our minds that this is the property that God wanted us to have.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. Like, the fact that there's no room for doubt about that. And you can't possibly think, well, maybe it's just coincidence, maybe this is just, it was just sort of the right time and we happen to be ready. I mean, the details that have made this possible and the way in which God moved from the land being available to our, even before we started looking, talking about what would be the perfect piece of land, and this was it, but it wasn't available.
Well, I told Joe before we started today, I didn't want to exaggerate, so I went back and looked at my email exchanges to see when we had our first meeting. Joe had asked Bill Shane and Randy Reynolds and I to get together and start giving some thought to finding some land or a building, and that was September 2014. So we've been at this for a while, and one thing that I can tell you from being at that first meeting in Randy's kitchen was that this is the property we identified in that meeting. We made a list of two or three properties that we thought would be perfect, probably out of our reach, but perfect, and we thought we'd start there and see what happened. And we actually went out and, through some intermediaries, tried to find out if this property was available, and it was not. And here we are 6 years later. It's truly amazing.
God's perfect timing. And then to think that this land was in the ownership of one family for 200 years, and the way in which God preserved this land. In fact, it probably didn't really, who knows, maybe it didn't belong to anybody before that. But this land has been preserved by God for his church to be here, right here and right now. One of the things that I was thinking about too is, not too long ago, we were standing down at the bottom of the hill, and we were just kind of meeting and looking over the property. And you said something about what it has meant to you in your walk with God and the impact that it has had on you to be so close to that miraculous experience with God. And what has that been like for you, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I do this for a living. I advise people in purchasing and developing real estate. And so I'm kind of familiar with how this process works. And this is not how this process works. I'm here to tell you. In 2014, when we identified this property as the place we thought would be our number one choice and tried to buy it, we had no money, and every real estate developer in Cumberland County had their eye on this property. If we had talked her into selling it back then, we would have lost it because we didn't have the money to buy it. We looked at the North Yarmouth Memorial School. We looked at expanding the ministry center. We, as Joe said, we walked every property from the Falmouth exit to the Freeport exit. We put one property under a letter of intent and basically got laughed out of the room. And then we had the God First initiative, and we had some resources. And sometimes I think we forget to listen to our own prayers. At virtually every meeting at your house, we started with a prayer and we said, God, you already know the property that you want us to have. Show it to us in your time and in your way. And then we promptly forgot all that and kind of demanded that it be given to us right away. And it took 6 years for God to give it to us in the way he wanted and on his time frame, when we had the resources to buy it and we had the will to pull it all off the way we did. It was just truly amazing.
It's great, Tim. And just, we want to thank you as a church for all that you have given. Can we just thank Tim, because he has been so generous with his time, and thank you so much.
Well, White Pine Church exists because of a dream that began in the heart of God and then was transplanted into the heart of an ordinary guy who lived right here in Cumberland, Maine. Doug Erdman was the very first human being to imagine the possibility of a church that Christians living in the communities northeast of Portland could invite their non-Christian friends to. And he shared that vision with his wife, Joyce, and with two other couples. And together, that little team of six decided to take on the adventure of what would become White Pine Community Church. And that all started way back, and it was 1998, 1999, something like that. So we're standing here 21 years later, looking at what God has done since that time. And I thought it would be great if we could just hear from Doug what he thinks about what God has done. So, Doug, come on up here. Doug and Joyce are here from Colorado Springs to be with us this weekend. We can't wait to hear from you, Doug.
Greg's right. White Pine started in our living room on Valley Road in Cumberland. Six people. I can tell you the view right now is a whole lot better than our living room on Valley Road. Okay, let me just tell you that. But sometimes people do ask, why'd you get involved starting that thing? And it is true, we actually went to a good church in Portland, but we did have a heart to invite some of the friends that we were getting to know in Cumberland, North Yarmouth, these communities, to church. And they would they'd say, but you go to church in Portland, aren't there any good churches, you know, in this area? And, you know, we kind of look down and say, well, I don't, maybe not. And so that is what kind of prompted us initially to think about a church here. I think another thing actually came from the fact at that point in time I was a lawyer and a Christian. So some people think that's an oxymoron. Tim, that's not true, right? It's okay. You can be a Christian lawyer. And I actually thought, wouldn't it be cool to have a church that I could invite my non-Christian lawyer friends to? And then even would it be really cool, almost a miracle, if the church would feel comfortable with Christian, well, just with lawyers coming, that would be a miracle. And so that's a bit maybe what was prompting us. So anyways, I think it's actually incredible to be here, Joyce and I, with you today, to see what has happened over the years through Joe, different pastors, different staff people, now Greg, worship teams, elders, volunteers. I mean, this really has been a joint effort, and God has blessed, and it's just solid evidence to be here today on this property. It's amazing. So we are, Joyce and I are just incredibly excited about this next stage that White Pine has to grow the kingdom of God in these communities north of Portland. So thanks for letting us be here.
It's so special to have the Erdmans here. And I just love them. I didn't even meet them before they became missionaries to Singapore. You guys had left for Singapore by the time I came in 2010. But just from your coming back each year and the time that we've been able to spend together, what a great friendship we have. And I'm so thankful that God started this church through you guys. That was amazing. And when I came in 2010, the phone number for the church was Joe's cell phone. And we had no offices. Now, before that, they had, after being in the living room of the Erdmans, you had gone to the old townhouse on Route 9 in North Yarmouth. You were there. There was a group of people that met there. And then your first public services were at North Yarmouth Memorial School right after 9/11 in 2001. And after being there for, I think, about 6 years, it was in 2007 that the church first began to meet at Greeley Middle School. So I came in 2010, and we had no offices at that time. We started looking for space for offices and for youth ministry right after that. And in 2011, I don't know if ever all of you have heard this story, but our ministry center on Cumberland Road in North Yarmouth was given to us by God at no cost. And so for the last 9 years, we've been doing youth ministry there. All of our offices are there. Anything that happens between Sunday has been there at that location. And it's amazing to me that God knew way before we did that we were going to need that building to start meeting in next week, because we can't meet at the school right now. So we're going to start meeting in person, two services on Sunday, beginning next week at the ministry center. But we've known for a long time. I mean, just the fact that Tim said that it was back in 2014 that there was a group that first started to meet like this. We knew that we would need a permanent facility in a strategic location in order for us to maximize our outreach potential. And so, you know, long before we started talking about it publicly, we were looking for land, and we were trying to save money. I mean, basically the way that we were doing it was that you gave more than was budgeted. We spent less than was budgeted, and we used all of that extra money to slowly but surely build up a savings account that would give us some kind of momentum when we finally decided to embrace the challenge of investing in a building project. And then finally, in 2018, we started talking to our whole church family about the dream that we had of acquiring land on the I-295 corridor so that we would be accessible and perhaps even visible to the whole northeast of Portland region, 50,000 people that live in this area that we actually have the potential to reach. And it was just about 2 months after we started talking about it that we came across a plot of land. Now, there's been more than one. Tim reminded me of another one just as he was speaking a few minutes ago, but I'm remembering the one that came up just like 2 months after we started talking about this. It was in Cumberland. It was actually on Tuttle Road. And man, was it a tempting piece of land. It was a good piece of property. It just wasn't as close to Route 1 and I-295 as we had kind of dreamed that it would be. You know, when we first started dreaming, like the ideal place was here, but it wasn't quite that, but it was pretty close. And I'll tell you, it was really, really hard to say no to that. And for 15 months after we closed that window, we just looked in vain for anything that might be available. We had a wonderful prayer team that was praying every Wednesday morning faithfully during this whole time, and there was just no land at all available. And so when we started our God First initiative in May of 2019, we didn't know anything about our future. It was a very, very fuzzy future that we had. And we just decided to bank on the promise of Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said that if we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, that he would give us everything that we need. And one of the ways that we committed to putting God first was through our giving. We pledged to give $2.6 million over 2 years. That was more than double what our church had ever raised financially before that. And we did it so that we could set into motion this transition to a permanent facility in a strategic location. And our prayer team just kept on praying. And it was less than 5 months later that this beautiful 20-acre piece of land suddenly went on the market. And, you know, when we heard about it, it was like everybody was just like, yep, that's it. And, I mean, the moment we heard about it, we all came over here. I think it had gone on the market officially maybe like the afternoon before. But on that next morning, like, we were all here. Our property planning team was here. Our elders were here. We all stood in a circle and we prayed. And we agreed at that moment that we were going to make a full price cash offer on this land. We were going to do it immediately, and so we did that. 2 days later, that offer was accepted by the owner, and all of a sudden we were in escrow on this land. And then we stopped and we said, there's a problem though, we don't have the cash. We had $700,000 in the bank, and the price was double that, $1.4 million. It was 2 days after that God gave us the other $700,000. He did it through one anonymous donor who does not attend our church. And we got all the partners together, something that our Constitution requires, and we said, do you think it's God's will for us to have this land? And it was unanimous. Every single person there agreed that God had chosen to give us this land. And so now it's ours. We're on land that we own. God gave it to us. Here we are on this hill overlooking this vast area where there are these 50,000 people who live, and I just love that imagery of being kind of up above that and looking out at all of those people. And the vast majority of those people right now are not on their way to heaven. That's why God gave us this land. Now, of course, when we got the land, we just thought we were going to be taking off. We were just ready to launch year two of our God First initiative. And on the very week that we were going to do that, it was in mid-March, that's when a worldwide pandemic was declared. Everything got shut down. that very week. And for the last 6 months, we haven't even seen each other because we're in this lockdown that has lasted 6 months so far. Who knows how long it's going to last? And I'll tell you what, if this land had come on the market after that started, I'm not sure if I would have had the faith or the courage to try to buy it. Because when this happened, nobody knew the future of the church in America. There were people that were saying with great confidence that the age of the church meeting in buildings was over. And that all the pandemic really did was that it jump-started a change that was already going to happen anyway to online church. That's what they said was going to happen. Now, we can all say they were wrong. I mean, if there's one thing that we have learned during this quarantine, it is that online church can't hold a candle to meeting in person, because we were made to worship and serve God together. And by that, I do not mean virtually together via Zoom. No, no, we are hardwired to need 3D, flesh and blood, socially non-distanced, unmasked fellowship. What we have learned is that having a place for the church to call home matters. Providing a gathering place for the people of God in the communities northeast of Portland matters. Establishing an epicenter from which the message of eternal life will radiate throughout this region matters. Now, can we do ministry without land and without a building? Yes, we can. We've been proving that for the last 2 decades. But obviously, it's God's plan for us to put down roots right here. We know that because he gave us this land. And when he gave it to us, he knew it was right around the corner. I mean, I don't think that God's up in heaven right now going, oh, if I'd only known about COVID-19, I never would have done this. He has a long-term plan that transcends whatever we have gone through or might go through in the short term. And as I was comparing our experience to some things that happened to people in the Bible, our journey reminded me of a story in the Bible that began with God speaking to a man by the name of Abram, who was living in what is now southern Turkey. He said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. And so Abram and his family traveled south through what is now Syria, and they came into what is now Israel. At the time, it was called Canaan. And he was about halfway between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea when the Lord appeared to him and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. And then again and again, he repeated his promise. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you. Well, Abraham never left the place that God had promised to give him. He died in Canaan and was buried there. His son Isaac died in Canaan and was buried there. Isaac's son Jacob left Canaan with his family and went to Egypt to survive a famine. And before he died, Jacob asked his family to take his body back to Canaan and bury it there. Isaac's son Joseph spent most of his life in Egypt, but before he died, he said to his family, God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he made them swear that they would take his bones to the promised land. 400 years later, when the descendants of Abraham had grown to well over 1 million people, God used an 80-year-old fugitive from justice by the name of Moses to miraculously lead the Israelites out of Egypt and back to Canaan. And among the things that Moses took with him when he left were the bones of Joseph. God led his people with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He made a dry path for them through the Red Sea. They ate manna that fell from the sky. They drank water that gushed out of a rock. They won military battles along the way. They came to Mount Sinai where God gave them his law. And there at Mount Sinai, God said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants." And so 2 years after leaving Egypt, they were on the verge of entering the promised land. And God said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites." So 12 men were chosen. And they saw that it was exactly what God said. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. But it was also occupied by intimidating people in fortified cities. And by a vote of 10-2, the spies agreed that they did not have what it would take to possess the land. They struck fear into the hearts of the Hebrew people. And the people all agreed that they should impeach Moses and choose a new leader to take them back to Egypt. And that's why they wandered in the wilderness for the next 38 years. That's how long it took for all the people of that unbelieving generation to die. Because God said, "You're not going in." And those 38 years were no picnic. There's a lot of sin, a lot of judgment. Even Moses displeased God, so much so that he was not allowed to enter the promised land. But right before he died, just east of the Jordan River, in one last great demonstration of godly leadership, he recounted the highlights and the lowlights of those 40 years in the desert, and he repeated the laws that God had given to them on Mount Sinai. And he told them again and again and again that their fate in the promised land depended on their obedience to those laws. He said, "Observe all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey." Moses used every last ounce of his strength to remind them of God's promise and to spur them on to obedience. And then he climbed a mountain. He looked across the Jordan River into Canaan. And God said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And the very next verse says, "And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there, as the Lord had said." And then, after mourning the death of Moses, Joshua picked up the bones of Joseph and led the people on dry ground through the Jordan River, just as Moses had led them through the Red Sea. And finally, almost 700 years after God first promised Abraham that his offspring would inherit the land, they began to take possession of it. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this story is because through all the drama, all the delays, all the detours, there was one constant. The land was theirs. God had promised it to them. And every time they were tempted to think that his promise had expired, or that they had forfeited it, he reminded them that he had given them his word. Now, this little tiny 20-acre plot is really just a dot compared to that, but God gave it to us. And yes, some things have happened since then that have tested our faith. Probably some things are going to happen between now and the time that we meet here for worship on a regular basis. They're going to test our faith. But one thing won't change. The land is ours. God gave it to us, and it was his intention for this land to be a blessing to people who live in Cumberland and North Yarmouth and Falmouth and Freeport and Gray and Brunswick and beyond. This will be a place to which people will come to find Jesus. And this will be a place from which those who follow Jesus will go out and share his love and his truth with those who may never step foot on this land. So Jesus compared his church to a city on a hill. That's what he was talking about when he used that imagery. He said a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And he said to us, his followers, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That in itself is such a privilege and such a challenge. But to also entrust to us this piece of land, to make this place a little city on a hill, a place where our children and our grandchildren will hear the message of eternal life and will worship God and become disciples of Jesus, who will take the light of the gospel into the darkest corners of this region and this world. How awesome is that? How awesome is it that God said, you get to be the generation that does this? I mean, think about the things that really matter in life. How many other opportunities will we have that's like the one that we have right here? This is going to matter. It's worthy of fervent prayer and uncompromising holiness and radical obedience and sacrificial generosity and dogged perseverance. When our bones are buried, let it be said of us that we did not shrink back from this challenge, but that we were good stewards of the land that God gave us to help build his kingdom in southern Maine. So today, as we dedicate this land, we're also dedicating ourselves to put God first, to love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, and to create this sacred space with self-sacrificing love for those who are our neighbors on earth and who we pray will be our neighbors in heaven. Joe, come up here with me and let's lead our church family in praying over this land.
Father, we praise you with such grateful hearts. And we truly are so honored to be called your people and to be a part of your plan, which has spanned millennia, generations, continents, countries, states. But that plan is so important right here and right now in this place, in this region north of Portland. And we are so grateful to be a part of that plan, God, and that you have blessed your church, your people, with this land, this very special place, to be that city on a hill. And Father God, we truly do dedicate this land to you. It is from you. It is for you, God. And may we never lose sight of that. May it be a beacon of light that shines in front of us, spurring us on as we live radical lives for you, Jesus, that will make it possible for this church to be a bright light for many, many people all around us to experience the hope and the power and the love of Jesus in us. May your Spirit move and work in every detail from this moment, as just as you have up to this moment, going forward, God. May we miss nothing that you have for us as we plan and prepare for what is next. May you be honored and glorified, God, in all that we do. May all of this bring honor and glory to you, in Jesus' name.
And Father, we know that the light of that city on a hill truly is in the people that live there. And so we are the light of the world, but only if we really love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Only if we really love our neighbors as ourselves. God, we dedicate ourselves to you in a new way today. We ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will cleanse us from anything that would hinder the work that you want to do in us and through us. And we ask that you will fill us in a new way with your Spirit so that we might please you in the way that we relate to you, and that we might be used by you beyond anything that we could imagine in the lives of other people. Not because we are so determined to do it, not because we flesh it out, but because of the way that you, your spirit is working in us, the way that you work through us and to make us the body of Christ to people that we come in contact with. Lord, from this day forward, may we be the body of Christ like never before to the people that live around us, to the people that live in these communities that you have called us to reach. Do whatever it takes to make us ready to occupy this land and to have it be a launch point for what you want to do in the communities north of Portland. Protect us from the evil one in every way. May we continue to be led only by you. May we never get ahead of you, but may we never lag behind you either. We trust you to continue to guide us and to take us to the fulfillment of what was in your heart when you dreamed of giving us this land in the first place. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. We love to follow you. Amen.
Amen.